This is part two of our most recent Jason Ault interview. It's also a Value White Cards in Commander episode. If you haven't already, go listen to part one of this interview. It's on our website at CommanderAndMTG.com. It's also on iTunes. You can search for it there. Just search for Commander and MTG Podcast. And if you want to get really specific, Jason Ault. And now for the exciting conclusion to our Value White Cards in Commander / Jason Ault interview episode.
I love that voice, the hacky bar comic voice. I love to come out and just do that voice. Hey everybody, keep it going for your bar staff. They've been taking care of you all night. Clap it up for the other comics you've seen tonight. Right, keep it going for the troops, everybody. Yeah, gotta support the troops. Love it. Love that voice. That's too much fun.
You've been in a lot of comedy clubs, haven't you?
Yeah.
Jason Ault.
Carry on.
Jason Ault.
All right. Wow. Well, we'll include lots of links in the actual show notes. The ones. What do we call those? Yeah, the show notes. We'll include a lot of blah blah blah.
Jason Ault.
I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And I am Sean Watson.
And we are Commander In.
Okay, can you think of any other cards that have had a set named after them? I can only think of one, and I've already mentioned it today.
Future Sight?
Yep.
Is that a card?
Time Spiral.
Time Spiral's the one I could think of.
Morning Tide.
Morning Tide, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an Even Tide?
My Value White cards, and again... I look at these cards as not just cards that represent upside. And in fact, I think you could pick up, Jason, earlier that I'm not really focused on MTG finance. I look at it. I think it's awesome. I am befuddled when a card spikes in price. And I look to sages such as yourself and the other hosts at Money Draft to tell me why. Oh, God, why has NMR spiked? And... so I look at these kind of as, you know, just like they provide a lot of value in a game of EDH. And my first one is Mesa Enchantress, right? As we all know, whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you may draw a card. She comes from a long line of enchantresses that are actually green up until her. And she's only a quarter. It's a steal. If you're not running a Mesa Enchantress and you're running something like 12 or more enchantments, I would consider it. Certainly if you're playing with the new Daxos or if you're playing another kind of enchantress build, she belongs in that. Another card that I really like the entire cycle. This isn't one of my favorites in the cycle, but all of a sudden it can kind of change the battlefield as long as your opponents don't have double strike, is Archetype of Courage, right? And the same price as the Mesa Enchantress for one in white-white. You get a 2/2 that gives all of your creatures first strike and prevents your opponent from gaining first strike and takes first strike away from all of their creatures as it is. Really, really kind of nasty. I enjoy thinking about playing her against a Glissa the Traitor deck. Hate Glissa. And that's for, at most, that's a half buck.
Do you think First Strike is up there with Haste as one of the most underrated evergreen abilities?
I think it might be. I think Double Strike, Double Strike is obviously better, but...
Double Strike is not underrated.
I don't think Haste is underrated at all.
You don't see it that much. I don't think you see it enough, though. I think it's underrated, undervalued. I think people don't put it into decks when they should. Does that make sense? I've seen red decks not running haste enablers, and I'm like, wow, you're one of the key things that red can really give you, you're ignoring. But I think First Strike's certainly up there. What First Strike is makes it so hard to block around a team of First Strikers.
Yeah, it really does. Especially with Archetype of Courage, you're basically looking at losing your entire board if you block this massive wave coming in at you. And yeah, haste enablers, I do agree, Sean. Haste enablers are kind of underrated. We do see them, but I think we're playing... I think we don't see them enough. Most people will say throw an anger in, right? But there's not a lot of...
Fervor or...
Yeah, where your entire team gets it.
Perforos.
Yeah. Or, but that's value yeah. red cards, I suppose.
And I think the only people I see playing them a lot are Nate and friend of the show, Nick Jaragoski. And our play group's getting bigger. I know you wouldn't play it, Phil, but like Urabrask is another really good one because he gives everything haste.
And he causes all opponent creatures to come in tapped.
Yeah. So he's got Blind Obedience strapped on him as well.
Urabrask is very good.
Yeah. Maelstrom, one of the main powers of that deck isn't the double cascade. It's the... Oh, it's going to double cascade, and whatever giant creatures it's just flopped onto the table are also going to be swinging, because he gives all your creatures haste as well.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons that haste enablers don't really get used as much is the colors where I really want haste, I'm not necessarily wanting to attack with that creature right away. I'm wishing a creature with a good tap ability I could use the turn it comes into play. So it's not necessarily always in red I'm trying to do something like that. You know, I'm trying to throw something out into play with Stoneforge Mystic or use Kuldotha Forge Master or something like that, you know, right away, as opposed to attacking. And red is mostly the color that grants haste, but I'm mostly looking to cheat in other colors. Like, can you imagine if, you know, Elvish Piper had haste? So it's...
I can imagine that.
Yeah, I can. I've seen it.
Yeah, so...
it's horrible.
Yeah, so stuff like that... I think it's mostly why I would want haste. But I won't pretend that playing those fatties and swinging with them in the same turn in a Maelstrom Wanderer deck doesn't feel amazing, because it does.
So going back onto why, what do you feel about First Strike? Because I postulate that I think it's up there as one of the most underrated evergreen abilities that just gets ignored. Like, people don't... If a card says it has First Strike in it, people don't value that. Double Strike, they go, ooh, that's really good, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
First Strike is...
Well, do you feel the same way about Vigilance?
Yeah, Vigilance is fantastic in Commander, but that's because of the multiplayer nature of our format.
Yeah, nobody really wants to to pull their pants down by attacking with too many creatures when it's got to go a whole turn cycle.
How many times have you seen someone with, I don't know, what's a classic Vigilance creature? Avacyn, just sit there and go, well, she's got Vigilance. I might as well punt you for 8. You're like, oh, thanks for that.
Yeah, it cheers. Becomes a why you know, not. Players. Like, it's like, oh, it'd be dumb not to attack.
Yeah. Heliod's really good for that. Oh, look, everything's got... Oh, my indestructible enchantment god has given everything Vigilance. Hey, guys. So I do think Vigilance is underrated.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I'm going to start focusing more on Vigilance. I have been truly underrating it and kind of eschewing, including cards like Heliod and some other anthems that give you Vigilance.
Have you seen Brave the Sands, which was an uncommon from Fate Reforged?
And that allows each of your creatures to block multiple creatures, right?
Anti-menace. Needs a better, pithier phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Chilled. What's the opposite of being menacing?
Approachable.
Approachable. It gives you creatures vigilance and approachable.
Being menaced yourself is the opposite of being menacing. Cowering?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cowering?
Cowering and vigilance. Gives all your creatures cowering and vigilance.
But why would you choose between double strike and vigilance when you can get them on the same creature?
Yes!
Kalemna, Disciple of Iroas. And he's boring. I admit it. He's boring, but like...
I don't know.
I think he's fun. I think he's fun to put a bunch of equipment on. Like, you punch somebody in the face with a Kalemna that's got a Sunforger on it, and you can end the game pretty fast.
Yeah, I've been brewing a Kalemna deck. I can't wait.
I can wait. I can wait.
Oh, no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be punchy. Badoomch. Yeah. So, speaking of haste enablers, you want one with Marshall's Anthem, which is my next card.
Smooth segue, sir.
I am a professional podcaster, sir. sorry. For 2 in white, you get an enchantment that says creatures you control get +1/+1. Oh, but it has multi-kicker. For 1 and a white, each time it was kicked, you can return a target creature from your graveyard straight to the battlefield. So if you've got anger in your graveyard, don't pull it out, because all the other stuff you pull out will have haste. And I really think this is underrated. I don't get to cast it a lot because it's kind of heavy on white, right? But when I do, it's usually a game changer because it's bringing back something annoying like a Terracidon or Woodfall Primus or Even a restoration angel, right?
Phil, I've told you you're banned from recurring to Rastodons. I've told you about this.
I'm going to keep trying until it works.
And that's why we have Morning Tide.
It's not
so
fair.
Jason, the other day Phil recurred his Terastodon so many times that he forgot that the giant wave of elephants that all his opponents that then had no land pointed at him and said, "Oi, Bloopo."
Yeah, it was just desserts. I had that Terastodon in and out of the battlefield so often. You guys had between you 15 elephants, and I still couldn't help myself. I had to recur it.
Oh, so you were like a child in the sodding sweet shop. You really
oh,
were.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he's going to keep coming back. None of you can have land. Yes, but I have got elephants. Do you have a board wipe, Phil? No, I just want to keep Right.
Ah, Terastodon, responsible for so many funny board states. And my final card is Leave No Trace, which comes to us actually at GU Doug. Judd from the Commander cast pointed this out the other day. This is Leave No Trace. It's an instant. And it says destroy target enchantment and each other enchantment that shares a color with it for only one and a white. So it's about the same as it is the same as a disenchant, only it eradicates every enchantment of the same color.
I have never seen this card.
Yeah, and for 14 to 20 cents, it's a steal. And then I have actually one other card I put in here. I kind of expected Jason to mention it. It's for 2 and white, it's an enchantment. We've mentioned it before on the show, and only in context with Jason. It's called Seance. At the beginning of each upkeep, you may exile target creature card from your graveyard. And if you do, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that card, except it's a spirit, in addition to its other types. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step. For only 48 to 50, 63 cents, which Jason wishes was $4.80 to $6.30, Seance.
Yeah, I wish that to such an extent that I've been accused of being the guy that's offering 30 bitcoins to whoever will play a seance deck at the modern PT. That may or may not be me. I may or may not be the guy responsible for buying hundreds of copies of seance and burning them all to make the price of the rest go up. That could be me. Who knows?
Who knows?
Genius finance performance artist.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say no. I'm definitely not one of the biggest trolls in Magic right now. Like, I'm just saying that I've got a box full of seances that if that card ever hits even like $1.50, I'm gonna make a lot of money.
You are a rich, rich man. Hang on, isn't 30 bitcoins an obscenely large amount of money?
Yeah.
It's not one for one, is it?
No, it's not.
One Bitcoin to one.
It's like,
it's quite a lot.
It's like $900 for Bitcoin or something stupid.
Oh, I should have bought them when they were $2.
But if everyone had, then they, if everyone's mother hadn't thrown away their baseball cards.
How else are you going to buy stuff off of the Silk Road, eh, Jason, if you don't have Bitcoins?
Yeah, exactly.
That many Bitcoins, you could actually commission your own print run of seances, couldn't you?
I don't know about for what the Chinese are charging for counterfeits, you probably could.
Yeah, sure.
For every copy that guy burns, I counterfeit 100 copies. That'll teach him.
Oh, boy.
But I mean, Seance is so good, especially if you're populating. Like, that's a card. If you're playing a Trostani deck and you don't have Seance, what's wrong with you? Like, anything that does something when it comes into play. Phil, you and your Terastodon nonsense. If they kill your Terastodon, you can get you can have another turn of Terastodon Anigans.
Terastodon Anigans.
What about parallel lives? What about doubling season? Making extra tokens.
Yeah.
Anything that does something when it comes into play, it doesn't matter that the token doesn't get haste. You're populating it, and you keep the populated copies. They don't go away like the one from that Seance puts into play.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you populate, you keep it.
So listeners, just dial 555 Jason Alt to order your signed seances.
That's true, Jason. Will you sign a seance and send it to either a listener of ours or yours?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, for $2.
That's excellent.
And that will excellent. Will cover some of that will cover the postage. Yeah, absolutely. For $2. $2 PayPal. I'll do it.
You heard it here first, folks. I'm trying not to laugh. That's excellent, Jason. Excellent. All right. So in the interest of eventually ending this episode, Sean, do you have some picks?
Yeah, I'll rattle through mine quite quickly. Mine have been heavily influenced by the fact I've just been building a Braga King Eternal deck. So you might notice that these are things which are quite, well, quite good in that. And were inspired by the fact I've reading them going, why is this not played in more decks? So pick one, Luminate Primordial. So all the Primordials are good, even the green one that's banned. Well, he's especially good, but not in that format anymore. Luminate Primordial was a Vigilance 4/7 for 7 mana, 2 of which are white. When he enters the battlefield, he casts Swords to Plowshares, basically, on one target creature for each of your opponents. Yeah,
so yeah, that's flicker, great.
That's very good.
Look at that bad boy. Yeah, he's 24 to 33 cents. You know, knock yourself out on that.
Is that true?
That is true.
Holy smokes.
I bought 2 play sets of them for less than £3. Full play sets. And that is a stunningly good card.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Also inspired by Prago is the Resolute Archangel. He's another 7 to cast white creature, which is 5 and 2 white for a creature, 4/4 flying angel. When Resolute Archangel enters the battlefield, if your life total is less than your starting life total, it becomes equal to your starting life total. So when it's all hit the fan, you say, I'm resetting myself.
Take that, Magister Sphinx.
Yeah, I've done it to someone that's sorined me before. It's a double-edged sword, because if someone else straps this onto their Mimic Vat, it gets bad for you. That's happened to me more than once. No, he's going to Mimic Vat. Don't kill the angel. Nobody kill the angel. I'm going to exile. Oh, someone killed it. Okay. Next pick was one of my favourite cards from Khans of Tarkir and didn't get played at all. If I'm a little bit like Nate's Reciprocate, I use this when I don't have a spare Swords or Path to Exile, which is Radiant Purge. The Resolute Archangel was 25 to 40 cents, by the way. Yeah. Radiant Purge, 1 and a white for an instant, exile target multicolored creature or multicolored enchantment. So this, in my playgroup, basically says exile target Prophet of Krufix or annoying god that you can't get rid of. That isn't Purphoros because he's monocoloured. But the amount of times a really powerful creature comes up and is multicoloured, and this is just a handy way of just saying 2 mana? No, get rid of it. Bye, out of my game.
How do you people exile Prophet of Krufix with this?
It's a multicolored creature.
Oh, creature, right. Yeah, sorry, I was so focused on its enchantment. It saw a lot of popularity in my meta when the gods were becoming super popular as commanders. And it's kind of cyclical, so I didn't even think of it as a creature removal. But it is, you're right.
And I think a lot of people with the gods, like, I run Krufix as a god for my Eldrazi deck, but I think you could really run something like, what's Momivig, the tutory Simic commander. And then a lot of people feel comfortable tutoring up the Krufix because it's indestructible. A lot of people aren't necessarily going to hit it. And this is a way, and like, so you can have it as like a second commander. But this is a way of saying, no, you can't play like that in my playgroup. Sorry. But that's 39 to 49 cents. So that's gone up a little bit lately.
Yeah.
Gone up a little bit lately. Yeah. Not a lot, but you know, considering it was like 15 cents recently. And white is the color of board wipes, yes? So, although some would argue black's now the better color, but white is traditionally the color of board wipes. And this was one of my favorite, also from. Sorry, Radiant Purge is from Dragons of Tarkir. This card is from Khans of Tarkir. End Hostilities. 3 white-white for a sorcery. Destroy all creatures and all permanents attached to creatures. Which means you get rid of all those annoying lightning greaves, swords of blah and blah, all those equipments that have been annoying the living bollocks out of you for an entire game. Just go for 1 extra mana over a Day of Judgment or a Wrath of God. It's 48 cents.
Well, Wrath of God keeps them from being regenerated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Regenerate is a massive thing. It's possibly the most broken evergreen ability. It infiltrates every deck.
Yeah.
But Wrath of God's, what, $3-4 at the moment? and that's been reprinted 700 million times.
Including most recently in a dual deck that nobody bought.
There you go. With terrible art on that dual deck one as well, yeah.
Yeah, that was. Remember when that was spoiled? We all thought it was a joke.
Listener art. Sorry, listeners, you wouldn't do anything so bad. We thought fan art that the Wizards had strapped onto. Whereas End Hostilities is unlikely to get reprinted anytime soon. For that one extra mana to trash all that equipment, which is so prevalent in Commander.
And auras, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get the auras anyway, most of the time, when the creature dies.
Yeah, in Commander, we're seeing a lot of auras, though, that come back to your hand when they go to the graveyard. Especially recently, and maybe it's just our meta?
Rancor. I've seen a lot of Rancor lately.
Yeah, Rancor and a few others.
This will destroy Umbras.
Yes, it will. Yeah, End Hostilities is a wonderful card. Why don't we use it more? This coming so closely on the heels of our underrated cards episode, it's like, wow, you know, all of these are underrated cards.
Yeah, the Luminate Primordial should really be in my underrateds list as well.
Yeah.
Well, when Khan's block rotates out of standard, that would be the time to start looking at buying those cards.
Yeah, when it really becomes super cheap. Because I've just gone through all my white decks, and I actually have quite a few white decks, I realized, more than I thought I did when I went through my sort of 20 or so commander decks. Took out either Day of Judgment or Wrath of God, depending on, or Day if they were running both, and just replaced one of each in each deck with an End Hostilities.
Yeah, and you mentioned Radiant Purge. That used to be in every one of the decks I ran that had white in it. And I've actually pulled it, which is insane. Why?
Are people running less Prophet of Kruphixes and Gods?
Less Gods, certainly, but anybody with Simic in their deck is running Prophet of Kruphix. Almost anybody.
And normally Kruphix as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
You must think Prophet of Kruphix is going to get banned. So, therefore, you don't need to run as much removal. I personally don't feel that way. I don't feel it needs to get banned either.
Prophet of Kruphix isn't going to get banned. Who told you that?
Bird. No one said it was going to. There's speculation. Mostly from the
whiny contingent. Oh, there's speculation since that card was printed. Yeah, so when had Sheldon on this very show, he said that card won't get banned. And he's the head of the rules committee. So I'm fairly confident without some sort of massive shift in philosophy.
Yeah.
Or membership of the rules committee.
Well, you can't really take that to heart, because Sheldon also, not, you know, 4 weeks before the Tuck rule change, said Tuck wasn't going away either.
I think if they were going to ban Prophet, if Prophet was just blue, if it was three blue-blue, I think it would be, or three green-green. Because it has to only go into Simic, I think that's what, and I'm saying it is possibly a ban-worthy card. I'm not, like, fighting its corner saying it shouldn't be banned. That's what I'm saying. But I think the reason it's had a reprieve is because of its colors.
It forces players to combine the best color in EDH with the second best color in EDH. And it only goes in those decks.
It's not red or white. Look, yeah, I won't lie. Of the many decks I run which have Simic colors in, it is in all of them. And it's the first card that goes into them before the... swearing tonight.
It's because you went to a football game earlier.
I did call a lot of people showers of... you can believe that one, Nate. Several times all day. So, yeah, it just infected me. But, yeah, it's the first card I go to if I know I'm intending to build Simic before I even go for what commander I'm running.
It's true. I put that in too.
Maybe I need to 75% profit out of my decks.
Oh, no, Jason, you need to. You need to start saying that Prophet is not a 75% card.
I'm not going to say that. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I think that it's another fun card that, like Felidar Sovereign and like, what is it, Biomancer, right? It forces you to basically start scrambling. And I enjoy that aspect of Commander.
Oh, you mean Biovisionary, where you make a ton of copies of it and then win the game?
That's it, Biovisionary. Yeah, then Nate is running the Biovisionary clone deck.
Philosophically, like in 75%, I love stuff that wins the game, especially if they can deal with it. Because, like, just play another game. Like, I don't like a big build-up board. People are like, we played the most epic EDH game. It was 5 hours. I'm like, by hour two, I would want to put a gun in my mouth. I like playing lots of games. I don't want to play one big game it takes all night. If I want to do that, I'd play Risk.
The rule we've been using, because we don't do infinite loops in our playgroup. So the rule I've been trying to experiment is after 90 minutes, infinite loops are fine. That rule lifts after an hour and a half, and I set a little timer on the phone at the beginning of the game.
You haven't actually done that with us, though.
No, I've been doing it on paper. Although me and Natalie Vervey, Carl Bard Nirvana on Twitter, put that rule in the other day, and I killed her with a exquisite blood... what's the new...
Sanguine bond.
What's the sanguine bond on a creature that's been released? Something blood.
Oh, yeah, the vampire from...
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy from The Thing. I know what you mean.
I cast him and then sacrificed a creature to my Orzhov Ghost Council.
Vizcopa Guildmage.
Just went.
Well, that's one of them. But there's a new.
Yeah, there's a new one. I don't remember what it is.
There's a new
There's a creature. It's...
All right.
It's called Defiant Bloodlord. He's called Defiant Bloodlord.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So after 90 minutes, I did win a game from looping it out the other day that way. So it did end the game quickly.
I just like a good insurrection sometimes.
Insurrection's fine.
Just win. Just game over. Just win the game. Just play another game. You know, I like that. I think. Because I don't like those big, intractable board states where no one can win and everyone's just sitting there playing creatures and passing the turn. That's no fun. You know, that's no way to play. So, yeah. Anything that says win, I think that's fun because it's hard to do. You can't do Battle of Wits, which is too bad. But, like, a good Mortal Kombat. You know, I have an Aname Death Aspect deck where all I do is I throw 20 spirits in the yard and try to win with Mortal Kombat. If they remove your graveyard, you lose because you have no creatures. And if you get it to go, you win. But it's also like a Kakusho Reanimator type deck. Like, it's a deck. But if you draw that Mortal Kombat, all of a sudden you can Iname and just, boop, dump everything in your yard, sack everything you have in play, and then just try to win with Mortal Kombat. I really like Test of Endurance. You know, I like Felidar Sovereign. I like that stuff that makes you have to do something, but...
I think Test is better than the Sovereign because it's 50 life, which means you have to do a little bit of work first. I'm coming around to... What the problem I had was that there was a player in my playgroup who kept bringing up just a really bad two-card infinite loop. So Helm of Obedience and...
The
Void.
Yeah.
The one that gives you... Right. And stuff like that. So it was like, oh, I'm going to... And it was in black as well. So it's like, I'm going to chief that. Or he'd play a Micaius the... Well, this wasn't him, but you'd see a Micaius the Unhallowed deck, and it would just be a pile of tutors and ramp and look for a Triskelion. And it's like, well, how's that fun for anyone? You know, 50% of your combo... It's the same as Niv-Mizzet as your commander, and then running Ophidian Eye or Curiosity. But you've always got 50% of your combo in your hand, essentially, because he's in the command zone. You're just going to sandbag until you find the card you want, which you'll normally tutor for, and go, oh, look, I've cast these two cards, I win. There's no skill in that. There's no... At least with Felidar, and I have problems with Felidar myself, at least with Felidar, it comes out... And there's a cycle of the table where everyone has to try and kill it before you win. Or take your life total below 40 before they win. But it's like, click, 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 I win. It's like Lab Maniac and what's it called? The one that exiles your entire deck.
Tunnel Vision.
Yeah, or Lab Maniac Leveler. Or
yeah, anything like that. Which is why I tend to dislike those combos less than I dislike the tutors. Because if you're using a tutor because it's a toolbox card, that's fine. But if you're using a tutor to always get the same one part of your combo, like, that's kind of boring, and maybe you should consider... Because you're not going to get it every game, so I don't mind losing to those cheesy combos if the guy came by it honest, you know? And the game went long enough for them to draw it naturally.
I run tutors in a lot of decks. Black's kind of like my color. I know I was saying Dimir, but it's black mostly in everything. And tutors is obviously the strongest tool that black has available to it over other colours. Certainly effectively over other colours. And I often get, oh, you're running tutors. It's like, someone accused me recently of being unimaginative and... that was it. And it was like, is it unimaginative, though? Because I'm not doing what you're just saying, Jason. I'm not just going to get... A and B, because I don't run any infinite loops in my deck, other than if my Karlov deck has Exquisite Blood Sanguine Bond, but I will never cast them at the same time, other than the other day when it happened after the 90 minutes. And it's, like, those, how do you limit, say, combos is fine, like those infinite loop I'm going to win, where, especially ones where it takes 3, 4, 5 cards to do, or, but at the same time, say, 2-card loops. No, can't do that. That's what we've done. We've literally just said 2-card infinite combos. Can't do. And you can activate them 5 times, which it should normally be enough to win the game. Most good infinite loops do it 5 times. Like, take 5 extra turns of Azuri and Sage of Owls.
Well, you can't quite win the game with Marath if you only repeat it with Mana Echoes 5 times. Mana Echoes and Cathar's Crusade and Marath.
Can't you, Phil?
Well, no, not quite.
Which is great, because why not make Marath actually useful? You know,
Marath is a great commander.
Marath can be very powerful. So unpopular, and like being able to do cool stuff with it is a lot of fun. Actually, when I built a Marath deck in my article, I actually did do kind of a combo deck, and no one really saw that coming until that was basically one of the ways people built it. But yeah, that Mana Echoes junk with Marath is a lot of fun. And if people don't see it coming, like, they don't even mind losing to the combo sometimes, just because it's so unexpected. So yeah, I like that as a concept a lot.
Yeah.
So I've yet to find an elegant solution to dealing with sort of... It's fine in our own playgroup because we can set parameters and rules, but when you're doing something like this where you're putting yourself out into the community as someone who's sort of available to play games and stuff, you can't sort of turn up and go, "Hey guys, I'm that guy from that podcast. These are all my house rules and you will play with them." That's not on, so I don't know.
No, you can't, of course. Especially if you're at something like a convention or someplace where a lot of people from different metas mix, you have to assume that you're going to work out the table rules. And for a while, I'd bring a combo and a non-combo version. And really, that was just using like the sideboard to swap it out. And I just asked at the table, "Hey, are we playing with combos or no?" Because if we're playing with combos, you guys should all just concede right now because I'm going to win by turn 6. So...
Not a shred of arrogance from
it. No. No, there was no arrogance in that. That was all factual. No, because it was. It was, you know, the combo version of Marath is just tutors, and we should do a deck tech on Marath, or just to go into it. But the combo version is just like, oh, let's get Kiki-Jiki and something else out. Or Earthcraft and Squirrel Nest, whichever one I'm holding in my hand at the time. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Our listeners had a couple of picks.
Oh, yeah, white cards. I remember. Hey, we've listed some very good white cards.
Oh, genuinely. And what I notice about our first episodes with Jason, I'll talk about him as if he's not actually listening. He's so much fun. Like, there's so much variety, and he can cover pretty much anything in Magic history and talk about it either as though he were an expert or because he is an expert. And it's incredibly entertaining. And so far, I haven't found anything he said to be boring or unpleasant.
Factually inaccurate, maybe.
Maybe.
I agree with you mostly, Phil, but his knowledge about how Cathar's Crusade works is ropey at best.
Oh, God, I know. So, hey, Jackie Miller submitted a value card. Witch Hunter. Let's use the Wayback Machine, folks, to go all the way back to the dark. For 2 and white, you get a 1/1 creature. Man, they made them big at the time. Tap, Witch Hunter deals 1 damage to target player, or 1 and white, and tap and return target creature any opponent controls to owner's hand. The old card text. She says it's so out of color square for white, so she ascribes to your notions, Sean.
Yeah, that smells blue, that card, to me.
It does, doesn't it? It's fantastic.
That's got to be up there with Miri's Guile for blue cards masquerading as cards of other colors.
And Sylvan Library for blue and black cards masquerading as green. Devin Armstrong writes, Lapse of Certainty and Absorb are a couple more mono-white counterspells that no one expects, which is awesome. And he's right, you know.
Lapse of Certainty is hilarious. Being able to memory lapse somebody out of white, that's great.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
I used to play Manatithe in Kithkin just because it basically... So you don't scoop to Damnation. Because they would always cast it on 4 and get 3 of your creatures and just win the game. So if you kept Manatithe up, even if they had a second Damnation, you'd get another attack in, and usually that was enough to kill them. So that was, you know, white counterspell. Like, it's so good because people don't play around it. That's why it's much more effective than a blue counterspell, because they don't play around it. So even memory lapsing them, you can't do it on every spell, but, man, sometimes that's enough. Especially if you can do something to mill them out or something. But, yeah, Lapse of Certainty is hilarious. Manatithe, not so great in EDH. Not so great in EDH, but yeah.
not so great, but people play a lot of X spells, right? And you go for the gusto with a big Genesis wave or Villainous Wealth or, you know, one of the Hydras or even Endless One or something like that.
Yeah, punish that greed. That's pretty funny. It's great.
He also favors he likes Stonehewer Giant, which although it's over $3, it's still cheaper than the comparable Stoneforge Mystic, and in our format it might be even better.
I like Godo a lot. No one really remembers that Godo kind of does the same thing. You can go get you equipment, you know, it's not a white card, but it's also not expensive like Stoneforge, and you know, strapping him up and swinging with him's never bad either. But yeah, Stonehewer Giant used to be a little bit more before it got reprinted. That was one of those cards they kind of looked at when they did the first Modern Masters, and they're like, some of this EDH stuff is really kind of expensive. If you look at the price of Divinity of Pride before they reprinted it twice, any reprints is good for players, you know. So
they do really beat it into dust, don't they?
Yeah, they can't just, once they reprint once, they're like, nah, you know what? We haven't completely punished the people that were holding these. I definitely had Stonehewer Giants in my trade binder.
Yeah. I think you'll see some value out of those over time. I mean, again, unless they reprint it.
So. Until they reprint it again, yeah. But it's a great card, and plus it's not on. It doesn't give people the feel bads like Stoneforge did.
And then he also goes on to cite Mentor of the Meek, which of course is a great card. Although we tend to play bigger creatures than Mentor of the Meek permits you to draw cards off of, so.
Alesha disagrees. Alesha, that Mentor of the Meek is key card in that deck.
Oh, yeah. But in terms of broad utility, it's no Radiant Purge, right? It's not in that class of card.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Hey, Nate, why don't you read these two from Twitter?
At DerkokeXXL says, Island Sanctuary is the best. Nice moat impression.
Yeah, I just put Island Sanctuary into Daxos.
Yeah, you did.
I did too. I did too. That's great. Awesome. I love Daxos Pillow Fart cards. Norn's Annex is another fun one too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Good.
How it failed, you can't run Norn's Annex.
I still acknowledge that its effect is decent on a card. Oh god. And the next one? Hey.
Just Cass at
We've heard this
Robin one. Cass. He also likes Luminant Primordial. It deserves to see a lot more play. Card advantage in white.
Yeah. I think you and I, Nate, will be seeing a lot of Luminant Primordial.
I needed to name check Robin Cass. He writes a blog, which I will put a link to in the show.
Does notes. He?
He does, and he name checked me in discussing Lazav EDH decks the other day, which was very kind of him after he'd asked me for my opinions and stuff. It was very kind of him. Thank you, Robin.
Oh, awesome, yeah.
Evidently has the same passion for underrated white cards as me as well.
Huh. Yeah, definitely include that link. I'd be happy to give him a plug. He's been a listener from the start, and we enjoy talking with him on Twitter. It's always great, like, when everybody in Europe is getting up, he's actually one of the first ones, right? And so I start getting tweets from him before I've gone to sleep, even. It's wonderful. All right, so we're almost at the end of the show. Jason, as always, you are everywhere on the internet, and on this show, at least, you are a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Aw, shucks.
And I've enjoyed listening to you on Command Zone and, of course, Brainstorm Brewery and Money Draft. Although, as I said, maybe off air, you guys swear a lot on Money Draft. Maybe as much as Sean does.
That's the Money Draft life, though. That's what we're about.
Yeah, that's how you roll.
we do that too, to sort of, I guess, narrow down the people who listen. Anyone who can't handle the Money Draft aggression won't be able to handle the rest of the message either, I think.
yeah, we as far as I know, we don't have any children listening, but we do try to maintain a family friendly atmosphere. So go to Money Draft, but be warned, you may hear a few choice words we tend to bleep out.
What I've discovered is if I swear using English specific idiom swear words, they tend to not bleep them. They've not worked it out yet, Jason.
Oh, I was going to say, anything questionable, they'll probably look up.
It's true. We've had to pause entire shows in order to look up some of Sean's, colorful metaphors. Now, Jason, you are at Jason E. Alt on Twitter, right? How else can people find you and reach you?
I will tend to Facebook friend a lot of people if we have mutual friends. So I got a lot of Magic people on the Faces book that way. My email is altjason17@gmail.com if you wanted to email me some questions. I write for Gathering Magic. I write a column about the 75% EDH deck building theory. I write a column about EDH finance on mtgprice.com, and you can hit me up in the MTG Price forums if you're a member. And I sort of am the content manager on brainstormbrewery.com, and we're always looking for people who are interested in getting their start in writing. We could definitely use some more EDH content on that site. We have just one guy right now writing about EDH. That's Andy Hull. Writes on brainstormbrewery.com, does a pretty humorous EDH weekly series. So that's sort of what I'm about. I'm all over Reddit, all over the finance and EDH subreddits also. So I get around. I like the computer box and the people that can put in touch with me.
Andy mentioned that, actually. We had an opportunity to kind of meet him on Skype and talk to him. He's a blast. We'll include links to every one of those in our show notes. And, you know, we can't thank you enough. We really appreciate it. I think this two-peat. Could it be, gentlemen, that this makes Jason some sort of friend, maybe? A friend of
the show.
The show, perhaps?
Is he friend of the show number two?
He could very well be.
All right.
Yeah, crazy.
Has Jason ever been asked the question by friend of the show Nick Jaragoski about being on a plane?
Oh, no, he hasn't.
I'm pretty sure friend of the show Nick Jaragoski asked that on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
What is the question?
So, Mr. Alt, after a night of hard partying and general debauchery, you awake to find yourself on a different plane. Now, a squad or a gaggle of goblins is sneaking toward you, brandishing cooking utensils and applying bibs. These are high society goblins. Which planeswalker do you trust to save your bacon from the goblin fire?
How many goblins are there?
It's a gaggle, so that's going to be... How many?
Nine.
Nine. And one of them is Krenko Mob Boss, so soon there's going to be, 18.
Elspeth, probably. Elspeth can summon soldiers to help us fight, plus God's Bane? God's Slayer? What's that thing? God's Sire? What's that?
God's End.
God's End. I knew it was a stupid pun. Yeah, the Godsend. That she carries can probably make quick work of some goblins. I won't pretend that I would be any help in that fight whatsoever. So, do I have to pick an Elspeth, or can I just say Elspeth in general with her whole power suite?
I think you should pick a specific Elspeth.
Okay. What was the Scars of Mirrodin Elspeth called?
Elspeth Tyrell.
Was it just Tyrell?
Yeah, Elspeth Tyrell. I'd probably her, because she can put out three soldiers to help, and she could destroy all of their permanents. Would that be me? Am I a permanent? Would Elspeth Tyrell's -8 or -5 ability kill me? Because that matters.
That's a good question.
I might go with Sun's Champion if we don't know the answer to that. Clearly it's going to be an Elspeth. Sun's Champion can also make three soldiers and could kill Krenko in one shot, so that'd be good. Plus,
yeah,
the emblem
true.
The emblem would give me flying, so the goblins couldn't hurt me. So maybe that was the one I should have picked all along. I've never been able to fly. That'd be cool, having flight.
Your final answer is Elspeth Sun's Champion?
Yeah, is that the one everybody picks?
Elspeth has been picked before. Only one person has ever picked a non-white planeswalker.
It's true.
That was the professor of Telerian Community College fame.
That's right. He chose Teferi.
I thought, Jason, you would pick Jace Vryn's Prodigy, sell the Jace Vryn's Prodigy, and then bribe the goblins with the cash.
I don't negotiate with terrorist goblins.
So, guys, do we want to play... Nate might groan at this, but do we want to play a quick round of Wheel of Walkers?
What are you calling it? League of Walkers?
Wheel of Walkers.
Wheel of Walkers. Let's play...
Wheel of Walkers.
All right, let's play one round.
Okay, one round. Okay, so we're going to do a question each. So this is a little quiz show. Welcome to Wheel of Walkers!
Wheel of Walkers!
And the prize, whoever wins Wheel of Walkers...
Come on, big walker, no whammies.
The prize for Wheel of Walkers is going to be a signed copy of Seance by Jason Alt of Brainstorm.
Ooh! All right,
and
I'm
Jason,
ready.
If you win it, I'm going to send you $2 and you can sign one of your cards and keep it.
Yeah! All right.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to spin the Wheel of Walkers and you have to tell me to stop. And then I'm going to assess how difficult I think each random planeswalker you've fallen upon's different powers are. And you have to ask for a hard, a medium, or an easy question worth 3, 2, or 1 points, respectively.
All right, let's do this.
If you fail, you get one guess at what planeswalker it is. I'll tell you what the respective power of the planeswalker is. You get one guess. If you fail, Nate and Orphil get to swoop in and tell me who it is to steal the points. Okay, so we'll say Phil's going to go first so Jason can see how we do it.
And we assure our listeners that the wheel you may or may not hear spinning in the background is real.
Yes, it's definitely not me using the deck dap to flick through card search planeswalkers. All right. Okay, so Phil, are you ready to spin the Wheel of Walkers?
I'm so ready to spin this wheel.
I want to hear you. Come on, spin it.
I'm ready.
Phil. It's a really heavy wheel.
I'm spinning it.
Oh, it's spinning.
All right, and stop.
Okay. Right. Do you want a hard and easy or medium? Medium.
Don't insult me. Go with hard. We know that I have an encyclopedic knowledge of planeswalkers from our prior.
Hard is -3.
Yeah.
Exile target permanent.
Oh, bloody. -3. Exile target permanent. All right. And we know that I've only got like a 30-second timer.
Yep.
Exile. Oh, that's Nicol Bolas, Planeswalker.
Incorrect.
Oh, God.
And I'm opening it to the field.
I hate this game.
Guys, whoever gets in first with the correct Planeswalker steals these 3 points off Phil.
Karn liberated.
Karn.
Correct.
They
got there first. And that's also, fine. Karn would have been an incorrect answer. It's Karn liberated.
Oh.
So 3 points to Nate. Nate.
You see how he does this, Jason?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You're insufferable.
Nate.
That's fine.
Nate, I want you to spin the Wheel of Walkers. Nate's Nate next, I'm afraid.
Spin it.
I want to hear you.
Now stop.
The musculature of you spinning the wheel, Nate.
Nate is inhumanly strong.
It's spinning. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Do you want a hard and easy or a medium question?
Difficult.
Wait, how many points does Nate have after stealing that one from me?
One. You get 1 point for a steal.
Oh, yeah, for a steal.
Yeah, so for a steal, you only get 1 point. Sorry, I didn't explain that at the beginning. A difficult one, so I need these two. Okay, the hard one is -3, destroy target non-land permanent.
Oh, come on.
-3, destroy target non-land permanent.
No, I know this one because I like her a lot. She is Vraska, and she is unseen. She is Vraska the unseen.
Correct, Nate. 3 points to you. Which means Nate can't lose now because we're only playing one round this week. Normally we play three.
Give me a five-point question. Give me a 5-point question.
Yeah, give Jason a 5-point question.
Okay, we're going to give you a 5-point question, Jason. Right, Jason, spin the Wheel of Walkers.
Whiz.
He's either spun it or taken a urination break.
I made spinning the wheel seem easy because it is for me.
Yeah, well. Your amazing strength.
Tell me when to stop.
Stop now. Stop it.
Okay. Would you like a difficult 5-point question?
Yes, give me an insanely difficult question so Sean can steal, Nate can steal 5 points from me, but only get one of them.
Okay. -1. Sacrifice a creature. If you do, search your library for a creature card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. -1. Sacrifice a creature.
What's that?
If you do, search your library for a creature card, reveal it, and then put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. So -1, activate survival of the fittest. Oh no, that's not even good. It's even better than that. Yeah,
it's the back. So. No, yeah, it's the back of Garrick Relentless. What is that called? Garrick the
cool, it's gotta be precise.
The Veil Cursed.
Is that your final answer?
No. Garrick the I want to say Garrick the Cursed. That can't be right. But it was Liliana cursed him. Yeah, Veil Cursed. She did. Final answer. Final answer.
Correct. It is Garrick the Veil Cursed. Baboo!
That was not 5 points. He's the only one that does that. But okay, I'll take it. Thanks for the win.
He's not a very common planeswalker. They're all fairly unique. Normally, we're being generous because you're a guest. Normally, Nate would have won. Just like he did the week before.
Yeah, that honestly, I didn't know. I wouldn't have known that the Veraska won. I wouldn't, a gun to my head, I wouldn't have gotten that. So, yeah, I just got lucky that you guys gave me an easy one.
Believe me, I feel your pain.
That's what the Wheel of Walkers landed on. It wasn't luck, it was chaos. It's a very red game in a lot of ways. And they complained last time, because it used to be that the first plus ability was the hard question, the minus ability was the medium, and the ultimate was the easy. And they complained that that system was too long, so I have to read all the abilities and judge what I think the hardest of those abilities is. The random element is still the wheel itself. But well done, Jason.
The hardest ones are the ones that are similar to other creature to other planeswalkers. Because we got a -3 destroy target permanent and a -3 destroy target non-land permanent. That was pretty tough.
That's true. So you get to send yourself a signed seance, Jason, as your prize.
Hot damn.
We expect to see a picture of a signed seance on Twitter.
I want
to
see a tweeted photo of your autographed seance. This is very much a legally binding contract.
Yes, very much.
All right, I'll tweet that.
Not only is he our first repeat guest, he's our first Wheel of Planeswalker.
Just Wheel of Walkers, come on.
Wheel of Walkers marketing. Guest.
It's got alliteration if it's Wheel of Walkers.
So. Oh, I just want to forget this game. Every time I play it, I'm so terrible at it.
Three rounds, I would have been ground into powder for sure. I would have been in last place after three rounds.
Yeah. Well, you know what we should do is we should create maybe a supplement, a series of aids that could help us identify and memorize all of the abilities of planeswalkers. We could maybe print their abilities on some sort of card.
I might expand it at some point. So at some point I might do wheel of card cycles. So we'll go through random card cycles. I'll tell you what the enter the battlefield or activated ability is, and you need to tell me what card it is. So that might happen when we run out of planeswalkers. But we could start a leaderboard with our guests as well. So far, Nate and Jason are tying because I was charitable to Jason.
All right, well, guys, I hate to do it because we're having so much fun, but it is now, especially after Wheel of Walkers, this is the end of our show, isn't it? We just want to say, Jason, I'm sure, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. You've been a blast. We can, as we're proving, talk to you for hours and not run out of things. But our listeners, I'm sure, will appreciate the break so that they can move on to next week's episode. And, of course, listen to the Brainstorm Brewery. We love our listeners as you do, right? You guys at Brainstorm Brewery and Money Draft, you love listeners? No?
Yes, Brainstorm Brewery, no Money Draft.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Is it because the listeners tell you what they think? Is that why the folks on Money Draft don't like them?
Yeah, man, I don't want to hear some nerd's opinion on Money Draft, but on Brainstorm Brewery, our listeners have a lot of insightful things to say, and we're glad to engage with our fan base, and we're just glad to hear back from the community. But if that same person who is a lovely Brainstorm Brewery listener, whom we love, if that same person were to tweet at Money Draft, they're a nerd, and we don't care about their opinion. So just be real careful. Just be real careful.
Don't get those confused, listeners.
I'm going to tweet the same question out, the same tweet to both podcasts and see how Jason replies.
Oh, perfect, perfect. So our listeners, we've actually met a bunch of them on Skype. They playtest decks with us. It's awesome. So everybody who hasn't done that yet, take the time to contact us. Write to cast@commanderandmtg.com and follow us on Twitter or go to Facebook, post a comment. And we promise we will help define what a gaggle of goblins is. Our theme song, that awesome theme song you heard a long time ago, and you're about to hear again, was made by Nate Burgess. Can you believe it? Jason, Nate is available if you need a special banjo version of the Brainstorm Brewery and or Money Draft theme songs.
Good to know.
Yeah, and he does stingers as well, and bumpers. So if you need some kind of interstitial music, he'll do that. Often impromptu.
All right. Is that J. Bob Dilla? Is that who that is?
Our logo is created for the podcast by Mr. Picto with assistance from Kelly DeLuca. You can find Mr. Picto at mrpicto.co.uk. And special thanks to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. Nate, would you take us out?
You can reach us by going to our website at commanderandmtg.com. Our email is cast@commanderandmtg.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, mtgcast.com, pabe.fm, and Reddit by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. Individually on Twitter, I'm at Mr. Plorg.
And I'm Ketchak.
And I'm at Copain26.
Once again, Jason is at Jason E. Alt on Twitter.
Yeah!
Jason, would you mind for me just saying in your own individual style, and that's our show.
And that's our show, everybody!
Yeah! You can hear me clicking my mouse while I idly flick between things. Waiting for Phil to bring me into the conversation. I presume he's talking to somebody else. But now he's gonna say to the listeners, here's Sean from his birthday holiday. Bring me in, yeah! Bring me in, yeah!